start it. Do it. Whatever you want.
Oh, what a great intro, Adam. Well done. What's up, guys?
Doing the intro. You are.
What's up, guys, and welcome back to another episode of the Designated Players Podcast. This is episode 24, I think, right? 24? My goodness, we are flying through this. MLS is back, week one, done, dusted. Red Bull beat Atlanta, and that's all we need to know. Episode over. Well done, guys. Good job. No, I'm just kidding, of course. We are excited to go back and get into another week of predictions, previews, and recaps of week one. But, of course, we go with scarf of the week first. Connor, got anything new?
I'm wearing my RSL jersey since I'm not allowed to talk about RSL today.
You also probably shouldn't rock anything Atlanta after being dismantled by the greatest tactical mind that is Chris Armas. We'll get into that later. Adam, what do you got?
So I planned on wearing this just because we plan on recording today and they played this morning. And I thought, you know, easy game. They wear my Toronto scarf. They got this. And then they fell apart. So I only apologize to Toronto fans.
I am rocking the scarf that I wore during the game when we beat Atlanta. But this is just to kind of rub it into Connor's face because we're getting rid of it. Because I am rocking a new scarf this week.
Finally.
From the boys in Wisconsin. Forward Madison FC scarf came in the other day. I am so hyped to have it. Shout out Jason for bugging me to get it. He, you know, once he told me all about it, I knew he had to be the first one that I got. For those of you who don't know, I'm going to be creating a scarf collection of anybody that we interview on this podcast. So we've got the likes of Bolton and Leeds with Coach Blake and Davide Salma. Forward Madison, of course, with Jason Klein. Inter Miami with Max Ramos. Things like that. I know I'm missing one of them. Sacktown, of course, right? Sac Republic. And anybody who comes on after that is going to get a scarf up. One day I'm going to have a wall of all of these things. Maybe I'll put it back here one day and just hang them up all over there and say that is my podcast wall. But, all right, I digress. Forward Madison FC, up the Mingos, full Mingo, full send. Why don't we go ahead and talk about the change that came in our groups? We are unfortunately now no longer playing with Nashville and no longer playing with FC Dallas, which means we are back down to a good old-fashioned 24-team tournament. Six groups, four teams in each. Top two move on from each, and the top four third-place teams now move on. Chicago and Vancouver, both into Group B with Seattle and San Jose. And then was there any other movement that we didn't see?
Miami now plays City and Philly.
Right. So Group A dropped down to four teams, and Miami is stuck in a very difficult group, if I do say so myself.
Yep.
But that's where we're at. That's where we move on to. But before we move on to all of our new games, let's talk about some of the old games. And since we're on Miami, Adam, why don't you give us a little recap of what happened in the Orlando game? I mean, the Miami game.
This was a game that happened. Miami started off actually pretty well. I was kind of surprised at not how poorly Orlando looked, but Miami seemed to be semi-comfortable. At 27 years old, I can't say Juan Agudelo is a wonder kid anymore. And that missing from 6 yards out hurts my brain.
Heartbreaking.
So, I mean, yeah. Granted, he scored, you know, a couple minutes after missing that chance. Some lovely 1-2 combination plays. Quick little pass across the box. Easy tap in. If he missed that, then I just cry myself to sleep again. But the first half, I mean, Lewis Morgan was pretty much there. Everything went through him. Pizarro starting on the bench, later came on the second half, but pretty much anything attacking wise came through Lewis Morgan. But the biggest talking point, and as someone who's in grad school for athletic training and who has been working in the medical field prior to this, I mean, Reyes getting elbowed in the throat, whether it was intentional or not, is irrelevant. We can talk about that, you know, all day. The fact that it took 4.5 minutes to get the stretcher on the field is mind-blowing, genuinely mind-blowing. I cannot like, thankfully he wasn't like actually more hurt. Granted, he could, you know, had trouble breathing because he got elbowed in the throat, which is serious enough as it was, but it could have been much worse. And the fact that they took that long to be able to get on the field, and when they did get on the field, there was no real sense of urgency. They seemed to, you know, just be walking, whether that was because they could see or someone had said, you know, like he's conscious. But from what we saw on TV, I mean, Dom Dwyer looked visibly upset. After seeing Reyes himself was, you know, obviously struggling to breathe. And as a medical professional, like you don't have that luxury to just casually stroll on the field. You don't know what the situation is until you get there. So I don't know. It hurt trying to see that.
I think what was most chilling to me was the fact that at this point they hadn't put in any crowd noise or anything, so you're just hearing everything off the field. You hear people screaming like,
yeah,
where are you people, let's hurry up, let's get this going, this person's genuinely hurt, and no urgency came in whatsoever.
Yeah,
and that's
I saw something that was like the gate to get the stretcher and everything on, they couldn't get open. I don't know, that kind of sounds like an excuse to me.
That sounds like something that would absolutely happen in a tournament like this.
Absolutely. Oh, 100%. Thought
this stuff through, like, let's see, let's play here. We'll put these barricades up to make sure nobody's near the field. How are we going to get in if something happens? We'll deal with it later. That sounds like definitely a conversation that was had in a room at some point when this was going on.
So that's a rule from the limited experience that I've worked with, is any ambulance accessible like gate has to be unlocked and has to be not open, but
easily
open. Like, it doesn't have, yeah, like you can have it closed but unlocked. That way all you have to do is, like, if it swings open push it open.
Yeah.
You can't be sitting there for 5 minutes trying to fumble with the gate if someone's on the field visibly in pain. So I hope that they look at how that situation unfolded, and in the unfortunate event that if it happens again, they can hopefully get there a lot quicker and take care of it. But anyway, after that, I mean, Orlando they just look so much better after that. Again, second game in a row where Miami lose a center back after looking arguably the better team, and we concede 2 goals and lose the game. I mean, same thing happened at DC. Player gets sent off. We had to change formation. We go to a 4-5-1, or what would have been a 4-5-1 had all 11, you know, been on the field at DC. We do the same thing here now with everybody, and we concede a late winner to Nani, and he's their offense pretty much. Like, he's the one player. If you said, who are we gonna watch, that's who it is. And one moment of brilliance cost them 3 points. And now that they moved groups, they now play NYC and Philly. I mean, on paper, pretty difficult. But NYC looked like garbage. So who knows? I could be totally wrong.
Do you think that Miami take any points if Roman Torres is playing this game?
I think not in this tournament, but I think when everyone's healthy, Roman Torres and LGP become our two center backs. I think if they can lock down that center back pairing, the two of them, and then you have Ben Sweat on one side, I think that defense looks a lot better with that experience. But it's just going to be, how many more games can we go with losing players?
Yeah, some wild stuff, right? Like, it definitely – it feels almost like career mode. You start up with a brand new team. You sign a bunch of players. Everybody gets hurt within the span of 4 weeks, and then you're left playing with nobody. And that's just awful. I think they got a really tough draw, too, because they had a very formidable – 3 games that they could deal with, and now it's like, okay, here are two of the best teams in the East, and have fun.
Which, and you've already lost to Orlando,
and you've already lost. Yeah, so you're already in a hole. So, good luck with that. I think, in the grand scheme of things, Inter Miami are taking this as a learning experience. I think they're taking it to figure out who plays where, who plays well, who doesn't play well together, things like that. And then whenever the actual tournament or league starts back up, they'll be better for this tournament. They may not look so good now. By the end of the year, they will not be as bad as they are now. They're going to learn a lot from this.
Yeah, I mean, 0-3 to start their franchise history isn't exactly, you know, how you envision this going. But, yeah, you're right. I mean, you can see that this isn't a team that's 0-3 and have no idea what they're doing. I mean, there clearly is a thought process in place. Once all the pieces kind of come together and, you know, we stop losing players every game, I think we'll be fine.
Yeah, like I said, it'll be interesting for sure. Another team that I will watch closely. I'm having such a good time back to watching MLS every minute of every day. Man, I miss doing some of that. But let's move on to the game between the future champions of this tournament and Atlanta. And I told y'all before, man, I told you, do not sleep on RBNY against Atlanta. We know how to play them. They can't beat us unless Chris Armas makes a mistake. And he didn't make a mistake today. He executed his game plan perfectly. Granted, this wasn't Atlanta's best team. We know that. We know that Yosef wasn't there. We know that they didn't start Remedy. We know Barco was on the bench. And we knew this about 4 minutes after Red Bull took the lead and every announcer started making the excuses for Atlanta. We all knew this. But that doesn't matter. Because if everybody was just supposed to play up to their level of the team that they're playing, what would this, you know, what would this tournament be? It would just be a bunch of people playing down to FCC level. That's stupid. We played them the way they were supposed to play. The player to watch, Florian Vallot, opened the scoring after receiving the assist of the year from Kaku. What an absolute dime of a pass. I watched that thing like 10, 12 times. So beautiful.
I would argue Polito's was nicer, but we'll get to that.
I would argue that if Tyler Miller didn't forget what position he's playing.
Just the assist.
Wait, no. I would argue that if Tyler Miller doesn't forget the position he's playing, that assist doesn't even count. So we'll talk about
this
that.
This isn't the Sporting Kansas City review. Let's stay on topic.
Fine.
We're going to get to that.
Yeah, we are. We pressed high. We made Atlanta uncomfortable in the first half. We made them play on our terms. And then Armas utilizes the super subs of Alex the Goat Mawil and the year of Omir Fernandez. And just ran down every defender who had the ball. If they got past us, have him, bro. Put him on the ground. Take a yellow, whatever. Put him on the ground. Do not let them build up. Do not let them get comfortable. And that was brilliant. You do that, and then you throw in one clutch save from David the Hat Jensen right in the dying moments. It was, oh, man, I missed Red Bull almost giving me a heart attack. I really did. Chris Armas got this spot on. He did exactly what he was supposed to do. Go out there. Get the lead early, press them high, make them uncomfortable, use your subs as soon as 60 minutes hits. Use your subs, run them down. We are a fit team, we're a pressing team, and that is what we need to look for. And that's what we did. Everybody did their part. If we're talking about players of the game, I'm actually going with multiple players here, and it's everybody on the back line with a special emphasis on Aaron Long. You know, everybody worked hard. Everybody worked together. Everybody covered, defended, worked back. But Aaron Long had that one play, I think it was like 70 minutes in, where he just bolted on a counterattack and caught up. You know, we had a three-player defensive unit around. I think it was Castro at the time. And he was trying to run on, and we had two people blocking, and Aaron Long comes in, takes the back, and wins the ball back. And, you know, he just had a ton of those plays where he just kind of came in and put his body on the line. So I'm giving Aaron Long, or the entire defense, my player of the game. And then I'm also going to say that my worst player was probably Castro for Atlanta. He was just bad, man. He was just poor. He probably needs a few more games to get his feet wet, but I think, what, he had three shots that went over the bar from 10 yards, something like that. So he wasn't good enough to play Joseph. He probably wasn't good enough to be on the pitch as long as he was. But that's my breakdown. Up the Red Bulls. Connor, well done. I thought it was a good game. Another one from us, but have anything to add on that?
I think that you kind of nailed it with Armas really getting down the strategy for the game. Get an early scrappy goal and then pack it in and rely on Atlanta being rusty and missing their star striker and playing physical and knowing that there's a good chance that they can't get the offense going. And that's exactly what happened. I think that Atlanta were the better team, even though they didn't win. And eventually they will start to get it together. One thing that people have to remember is not only are they coming in rusty, but a lot of those guys that started that game have not been playing there for a while. So it's a lot of chemistry issues that are in there as well. Castro's first game, Rosetto's first game, Meza's third. That's like the fifth time Mo Adams has ever played for us. So there's a lot of chemistry issues they got to work on as well. So it's going to take some time, and it may not happen in this tournament. We'll have to see. But I think the potential was there, and they could get it together eventually. But, you know, Armas came out with a good strategy, knowing what he needed to do. He had the team to do it, and he executed it perfectly, and that's why they got the win.
Yeah, I want to give two special mentions. One to David Jensen's mustache, because that thing is glorious. He wasn't wearing his hat, but
the mustache makes up for it.
Mustache is more than makes up for it. And then for Atlanta, George Bello. I mean,
oh, what a lad.
So yeah, he was Bello. Unbelievable at points.
Oh, man. Yeah, I would say if Red Bull didn't win and they tied this game, I think George Bello probably takes one of the players of the match.
Yeah.
Guzan had a good game too, him and his bald ass head, but whatever. Yeah, man, that game could have easily been 2 or 3-0 if it hadn't been for him being him. So, yeah, like I said, real happy with the way that Red Bull continue to prove that player name doesn't matter. It's the system you play and who buys into it. You can laugh all you want, man. We haven't lost a game yet.
Yeah, I know. It just makes me laugh when you talk about the Red Bull system when we bring in, like, Jorgensen, who's never going to play for us because he fit the system.
I just saw a comment on that. Like, are we ever going to get a return on investment on this Jorgensen guy? And everybody's like, we should probably just get rid of him at this point.
Yeah.
I'd be interested to see where he goes. But granted, he's only 19 still, man. He's got time.
Sure.
Listen, he might not have as much potential as somebody like Jesse Lingard right now, but eventually he might.
Jesse Lingard's my age.
It doesn't matter. He still has Ronaldo-type potential.
He's a wonder kid. He's a wonder kid.
15 more years, he'll be great. He'll be in his prime.
All right. Let's go over that SKC game versus my Loons, who I will just go out and say, this is going to be Connor's segment. I'm going to say the Loons did not deserve 3 points here. Connor, break it down for us, and I'll shut up.
All right, this is the game that I know we've all been wanting to talk about. We got Alan's favorite Adam's favorite Alan Pulido. Adam's favorite Alan Pulido. We have Andrew's Loons, and then we have pretty much the game of the week. Although I feel like you can make an argument for Toronto DC this morning. That was also a good game. But we'll stick with this as game of the week. First half, I thought that the Minnesota defense did not look great, and SKC should have gotten a couple of goals, but they didn't. Despite the defense not looking great, I thought Metanier was pretty good on both ends of the ball. He was kind of one of their lone bright spots in the first half. But then we get to the goal. Obviously, that Pulido flick was unreal. That was so nice. I put that on repeat. I'll watch it all day. And then he plays the ball into Keary Shelton, who might have had a tough finish ahead of him until Tyler Miller decided to be agent SKC and basically give him a goal.
Who scored that goal? Sorry?
Shelton.
What was his first name?
Keary.
There you go. What did you say, Keary before?
I don't know. I also called Adam Allen, so.
Oh, we're having one of those days.
Gotcha. It's one of those days.
I've been called
Yeah. I feel like Miller was trying to guess early on Keary playing the ball across the box.
Yeah.
But it was a terrible mistake, and then he just left the entire goal near post open, and it was obviously an easy finish there. And put SKC up before the half. And then we got into the second half, where we all know our controversial moment of the week happened. And I know Andrew's waiting to blow his gasket on this whole thing. But before we get to that, let's just kind of get into things. One thing I wanted to mention was I actually liked a comparison that Twellman made during the game where he compared
Freeze, never allowed to say you like anything Kara Twellman does ever.
I know you hate him.
How long
have I
you
like, I liked the way that he compared the way that Pulido played this game to Firmino for Liverpool. Whereas yes. It wasn't just like a poacher's type of goal scorer, but he almost sat deeper and kind of linked everything together, almost as like a attacking midfield playmaker. And I thought he played that role perfectly. He was fantastic in this game. All right, so then let's get into the moment where Tim Melia gets sent off for questionable red card. And I'm not going to make any I'm going to let Andrew go off on his thing about the judgment of whether it is or is not
a red card. Adam and I are going to argue this.
Okay, but one thing I do want to say is I watched the RSL game right after that. And basically an identical play happened when RSL got their penalty where Clint Irwin took out, Martinez. He took out Martinez in the box on pretty much the exact same play, and Irwin got a yellow. He did not get sent off. I would argue that it was worse because there was nobody behind Irwin blocking the goal. So I just think if you got to be consistent with it. If you're going to give Irwin a yellow, then Melia needs to be on a yellow. Or if you're going to give Melia a red, Irwin needs to be on a red. Mm-hmm. But that's the only thing I wanted to say on that.
So
let you guys get into that.
So before Andrew goes, the reason it wasn't a red in the Colorado game, and I didn't see the Colorado game. It was – I went to bed. I couldn't stay up.
I didn't watch the Colorado game either. I was dead.
I went to bed at halftime, but after we watched the late game the night before, the Cincinnati game, I couldn't do it 2 days in a row. But I'd have to assume that it was – because it was in the box, you gave a PK, you also can't give the red card. I know there's like a whole double jeopardy thing that people can argue. Yeah, the SKC one was outside the box, so they gave the free kick and then sent him off. Had it been a couple feet back, and he probably wouldn't have gotten sent off, but they would have gotten a penalty. But I'll let Andrew go first, and then I'll.
No, I want you to go first. I'm gonna.
You want me to go?
Yeah, I want to hear. I need to hear something stupid before I get really upset. So please go ahead.
Wow. So I'm defending why it was a red card. Yeah.
That is your opinion, is it not?
It is.
Yeah, go right ahead.
So, yes, there was a guy on his way back. When the actual foul was committed, I don't think he was fully on the goal line yet. But that's a foul. It's last man. You can argue that – I forget which defender was on his way back to try to cover the goal. But it's a foul. And because the goalie's the last man – that's a red card. I mean, it's literally what the rule is. Yeah. I mean, that's pretty much my argument.
That's it.
That's literally what the rule is.
That is awful. This is why I would never let you referee again. Okay. There is zero possibility that that is a red card. Before I really get into it, somebody tried to convince me on Twitter or at the DP Pod One, follow us on Twitter. Somebody tried to convince us that it was for serious foul play. Not a chance. I don't think anybody here thinks it was for serious foul play. And that guy
denying clear goal scoring opportunity.
It was dog so.
Yeah.
Right? It was a poor dog so call. Yes. But it was dog so, right? So we're gonna forget the idea that it was serious foul play. Dog so is denial of a clear goal scoring opportunity. What is a clear goal scoring opportunity? He takes his touch wide. Schoenfeld takes his touch wide of goal. He's got one person running on his right, another person running on the goal. And if he hadn't gone down, he's stumbling to catch his balance, which is give somebody more time to get back on the line, right? It's not clear. It's not a clear option because he goes wide. He goes wide. So if he goes wide, there's no chance that you can see that that's a clear goal-scoring opportunity. Comes out, Melia comes out, stays big. First of all, he hesitated coming out. So that's on him. You're going to go for the ball, you go for it. Don't run and hold and run and hold. He comes out. He goes out with his knees tucked, trying to get the ball at his foot, misses it, catches the player. There's no intent for harm. There's no endangering the safety of the opponent. So it leaves dog so. That's the only reason that this referee is looking at us as we need to do it this way. You've got the man running back on the line. You've got a guy 3 yards behind him who would have made a tackle anyway. And then you got the guy coming in from the right. That's three different players around. It's harsh, man. It's such a harsh way. And this is weird, man, because I'm coming out here saying that my loons didn't deserve a win. But they didn't. That is a harsh red to give. Never in a million years am I giving that a red because it's not denial of a goal-scoring opportunity because there's a guy there. I think it's harsh. I think it's really, really harsh. And there's – I wouldn't. I disagree. I don't think it's a red. I think it's really harsh to give a red there. I'm surprised VAR held it up. I think they probably held it up because there wasn't enough to say otherwise. For example, if he gave yellow and they were looking at possible red, I don't think they overturned it to a red, if you know what I mean, right? There wasn't enough to go either way. So I'd be curious to see if that red card gets overturned. I don't think it will, but I'd be curious to see it.
Yeah, I mean, wrong league, but we also saw Aston Villa player get sent off when Bruno Fernandes stamps on his leg trying to do a Maradona. So there are no rules.
Football's a wild game, man. Football's a wild game. But Gracie May.
All right, let's there is still more to this game because at the moment, SKC is still ahead, 1-0, even after the red card.
Fair.
So right before the red card happened, I would say that Minnesota was starting to get, like, the currents flowing. The attack was starting to look a little bit better. But then once that red card hit, flood was open. Minnesota was fully on the gas pedal, looking to come back in this game. And then they got their first goal off a great ball in by Jan Gregus. And it was an own goal, I believe, off of Kyrie Shelton. And then they obviously get their winner at the end. I believe it was Kevin Molino. So you have to say that the red card definitely played a factor in them coming back and winning this. They might have still been able to get a point anyway, but I feel like the red card definitely, you got to say it's a game changer. But for me, my man of the match was Metnier. I thought that throughout the game, he was good both sides, defending and attacking. He was the one that started the attack, or you would get your MLS second assist for him on the last goal of the game. So he played it across the box, got everything going for them in that terms. But if the red card didn't happen and SKC win the game or even tie, I'd probably give man of the match to Pulido.
Yeah, I'll be interested to see how SKC look. I mean, I picked them going pretty much the whole way, I think. And it might have just been because the backup came in and, you know, didn't have the time to warm up and came into a game that was already pretty, in flow. But can't say that I was that impressed with him. I think Tamelia is just a ridiculous loss if he's out for the next, the rest of the tournament.
Oh, Richard Sanchez was
not good.
Man. I remember when he played, he was a Chicago guy for a little bit. And when he played for, that was when Chicago were awful, awful.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Not just awful, awful, awful.
Double awful.
He was bad.
Yeah, like I said, the big games in week one, we only covered three. The two of them that represent the three of us and then our game of the week up to this point. We haven't seen the LAs play Portland or Houston. We haven't seen anything from the last group yet, just the way the recording works today. But let us know what you think about week one games. Let us know if you think red card or no red card. Big decision there. We all know who's right, and he's a true Red Bull fan. Let's go on to some previews, man. Let's preview week two because I really think we got some good games this week. So let's talk about it a little bit. And I think I'm going to start us off with Chicago versus Seattle. That's the first game on slate. It's Chicago's first game of the tournament. Chicago got their first game canceled, and they're now sitting in Group B with Seattle, San Jose, and Vancouver, which I believe is still a very high likelihood they advance out of this group. This is not a strong group, and I think that they still have a chance to probably pick up a lot of points here and advance out. Going into the team that are playing Seattle looked really flat against San Jose. They were trying to get their legs under them. San Jose pressed the hell out of them. They were just not ready for that high pressure. So the big question for me, is Chicago going to take notes and use the freshness of their legs, that they haven't played a game yet, to do the same thing San Jose did? If I'm a Chicago fan or if I'm a Chicago coach, I'm watching that game and I'm saying, that's how we beat them. That's how we take them out. Do not let them play out of their half. Press them high. Don't let him get out. We can win the balls in the air. Rui Diaz is not a super tall dude. Let's make him dump the ball and we'll just play 4v1. Fine. If I'm Seattle, I'm looking at if my midfielders can handle that pressure and be a release valve, right? If they're going to press us that high, which they should, but if they do, can we possess the ball out of the back, play through my midfield, find an opening and release? That's what I'm looking for if I'm on the Seattle side. Players to watch for Chicago, for me, have to be, again, Robert Berich, right? I'm hoping that if they press him up high, they turn the ball over in the attacking third and he gets a million chances. That's what I'm hoping for. So I'm watching to see if he can put those away. And then I'm also looking for any one of their new winger signings that we've talked about last week, right? If they can make an impact right off the bench, huge. They need somebody else attacking up there. They've been dead the last few years, really. And then for Seattle, I'm watching Ladero and Roldan again, like I mentioned. Can they handle the pressure that really should be there? Can they be a release valve? Things like that. But it's going to be really interesting because it's going to be really, really important that Chicago take notes and start off strong and start off early. They can't fall asleep on this one. I think Seattle will not press them high, but they'll play strong, and they're used to playing already. That being said, I think Seattle rest up. They learn from their mistakes, and I think Chicago are going to need some time to get their legs under them. I'm going to go 3-1 Seattle.
Yeah. I have a question for you. Do you think that what do you think is going to play a bigger factor in this game, Chicago rust or Seattle fatigue?
Chicago rust. We saw what happened this entire first game with rust. It took us 5 games to get to the first goal in the first half. Rust is definitely a bigger factor than fatigue, especially with 5 substitutes. You can rotate, you can play guys for 45 minutes, 60 minutes, and still not worry about super fatigue, while it takes a little bit of time to get rust out of your legs and get your legs underneath you and really play the way you want to play. And that is the reason I'm giving Chicago a 3-1 loss here, because I think it's going to take them too long, and Seattle went and didn't score a goal, and they're not happy about that. So they're going to go out and go hard.
Sorry, I got distracted. Houston are beating LAFC right now. So that'll tell our listeners when we're recording this.
You're lying to me.
Nope. I don't understand MLS anymore. Don't take anything I say tonight with any sort of serious, because there are apparently no rules in this league and nothing makes sense. So I give up.
By the way, there have been 2 correct predictions score-wise and only 1 other prediction, I think, for all 3 of us in terms of result-wise. Everything else was wrong.
Yeah,
we suck.
Everything else was wrong. So we get 2 points for a correct prediction, 1 point for a correct result, 0 points for a loss. I've got 4 points in 7 games. Connor's got 3. Adam's got 1. We really know what's going on, I swear.
Yeah.
I just watched back that goal, by the way. That's awful.
Yeah, it's bad.
Vermeer's awful.
It's bad. Palacios is still starting at left back, even though Nahar's on the bench. So, yeah.
Love it.
Yeah. For the record, and we'll put this out, Montreal fans, we backed you. What the hell?
Yeah.
Fix your team.
Come on.
We can't hype you up and then you make us look bad like that. Come on.
No, just kidding. Up Montreal. They're going to get 6 points, move out of the tournament. We're going to be fine. We're going to be fine.
They better. They didn't start too well.
But, yeah, so that's what I'm thinking about that game. I'm thinking Chicago really need to get the rust out early. Press them high, just like San Jose did. You know, they've had extra time to train in the heat, so they won't, you know, the heat won't do anything to them, but that rust will be tough. Connor, tell me about Orlando versus the baseball team while I get a drink of water.
All right. Take me out to the ball game. NYC last week looked terrible, just as they did the first 2 games, and they still have yet to score a goal.
Love it.
If there was ever a time for them to score, though, this is the game. You can do it against Orlando. I believe in you. If Miami can score, you can score.
If Juan Agudelo can score, Miami can score on their own.
I think NYC finally might get the attack going this week. But my biggest thing to watch for this game is going to be actually, Nani played on the left side last game, correct? Or was he on the right?
Lefty.
All right, so if he plays on the left side again, I'm going to be looking at the matchup between him and Anton Tinnerholm.
Oh, yeah.
I think that if Tinnerholm plays like Tinnerholm usually plays, he could shut down Nani and then theoretically shut down the Orlando attack. And last week, they needed to be good defensively, and I'm not going to say they weren't, because it was a bad save by – or not save by Sean Johnson that cost them. And he needed to be big.
Howlers, Connor, right? It was a howler.
Yeah. He needed to be big. He was not big. So we have to see what happens with him this week. And he needed to be big because NYC couldn't get their attack going at all. And I don't know if it – is it official whether or not Maxey's not playing the next game?
He's out for a few weeks.
Okay. So not only was your attack bad before, but now your best playmaker is gone. I feel like they could struggle again here very easily. But it is Orlando, and anything is possible in terms of being Orlando. I want to say NYC drops points here, but it's hard for me to say that. But anything happens in the tournament, so I don't know. I think I'm going to lean towards – I'll say 2-1 NYC.
Okay.
I don't like that, but I'll go with it. I'll stick with it.
All right. I'm excited for that game because we might finally get to see Orlando beat up on NYC again like it was back in when they had Kaká. Kaká versus
– I blocked out that Orlando team, so you'll have to remind me.
That guy, man, I remember they had the first game they ever played against each other was like 5-3, and Pirlo and Kaká were just running the show. It was awesome. I want another one of those, but give me 5-3 Orlando and let Nani score like 5.
If Orlando just gets a draw here, they no. If Orlando wins, they're in the next round. So
yeah, how terrifying. That's Russia moving on in the World Cup. Home team advantage, who shouldn't be anywhere near the finals, getting really close. Adam, tell me a little bit about how Miami are going to do against Philadelphia, please.
I have no idea. Because as bad as NYC looked, I mean, stat-wise, they kind of bossed the game against Philly. They may not have won, but, you know, possession, they outshot them. Granted, their shots were not remotely anywhere on target. But Philly looked kind of slow. I mean, Ali Bedoya took the first goal, and that was, you know, enough to win. But that, I think that was more NYC being really bad versus Philly being good. And we've spoken about Miami, so I'll be very interested to see if Reyes is, you know, feeling better and can slot back in center back, because that is where our that's literally the whole point of Miami. Like, if that center back duo is not clicking, then Philly are going to run through their defense. I'll be interested to see if Pizarro starts. I think we looked a little bit better when he came on. You could tell he and Lewis Morgan really like playing with each other. But we need a striker. I'm sorry. Juan Agudelo is not the answer. If I had to guess, I don't know, 1-1.
I'm interested to see – really, I haven't watched Philadelphia yet. And I don't. What time is this game? Do I get a chance to watch them?
I have no idea. Let me check.
All right. Well, if I get a chance to watch them, I'm excited to watch them because we had a lot of high hopes, and I heard they weren't great. I heard
10:30
at night.
Yeah.
Oh man, that's ridiculous. All right, so maybe I'll get a chance to watch them. We'll see. What day is it?
It's tomorrow.
Oh god. We'll see.
If you have ESPN Plus, you could watch it in your free time.
What free time?
Find some time.
What free time?
Find some free time.
We interrupt this broadcast to tell you that Bradley Wright Phillips has scored.
Go on, my goat. Oh, man. Is he heel clicking in the black and yellow?
I didn't see. I hope not.
If he heel clicks in another jersey, I might just cry. I'm excited. I'm excited to see Philadelphia and Miami because I think Miami showed glimpses. And if Philadelphia didn't look great, I think this is a place Miami could pick up some points here.
Yeah.
I'm excited to see Dan Aronson against the weak Miami defense.
Yeah, if look at their center backs. If their center backs aren't their normal starters, then Miami's in trouble.
Vancouver versus San Jose. Another team looking at its first game. And then another team who's not having players in this tournament. That's right. Vancouver are in some awful shape because three of their four strikers just said, I don't want to play. So they are, I think Theo Bear has he backed out yet?
I think so.
Oh, well, there goes that one. I don't know who they're starting. I genuinely don't think they have
a starting. Elliot
Nahn. Thank you, Connor.
So without being silly, I don't know who they're starting. This is going to be really interesting for them. Man, I was talking about how I want to see them, you know, absorb pressure and counterattack to Theo Bear. That's gone. That's out the window. Yeah, so you're looking at a San Jose team that said they're not afraid to press, right? They took out Seattle by literally following every single one of their players around the field. As one of my old coaches said, Adam, you know, Coach Mike Rudelli, you know him very well. I want to know what flavor gum they were chewing yesterday. And that is basically the way they like to play. And in match day one, I think San Jose, to be fair, were probably unlucky not to get 3 points. I think they had a lot, they had more chances and they probably should have walked away with 3 points, but you need to be more clinical than that. So if you're going to press people and outwork them and you're not going to put the ball away, you're going to sit on zero goals. And I don't know if any of you guys know how soccer works, but if you don't score goals, you cannot win games.
No.
Not physically possible. So I need to see Danny Hosen. I need to see Wando, Erickson, Rios. Anybody who's playing in that attacking role needs to be more clinical. Who's going to step up and say, I'm going to score a goal for this team today? That's what I'm looking for out of the San Jose team. For Vancouver, just get off the bus, man. Do not let these guys run all over you. You have to play from the opening whistle. If you wait for a second, just like Seattle did, you're going to get behind the eight ball, you're going to play catch up, and then you're going to try and outwork a press that you're not fit enough to outwork. You need to get off the bus. You need to play. No striker, no party. I'm also not confident in San Jose's attack. I'm going to go 1-0 San Jose here. But those are the big things I'm looking for. I'm looking for anybody on Vancouver just to show up and play. I'm not looking for a specific person, but for the team, they need to step up and play. Maybe one of their center mids or their center back, somebody who can really drive them forward.
Their left back.
Connor, what's up with Atlanta versus FCC? Because I can't be bothered with this anymore.
This is a must-win game for both teams who both dropped their first game. If you lose,
yeah, they did.
Yeah, if you lose, you're probably done. Especially FCC with the goal difference they're behind right now.
Mm-hmm.
And I mean, it's hard to say that you think FCC get points out of this game based on how they looked against Columbus, because they looked awful. They looked, I'd almost argue, worse than last year. I mean, granted, Columbus is a good team. No doubt about it. Definitely a tournament favorite. But, wow, they looked bad. And Atlanta is a team that can punish bad if they're at their best. But that's an if, because they were not at their best against Red Bull. But maybe they shook off some of that rust. They change up their attack. Maybe they stick with Castro. Maybe he starts to get things together, because there were opportunities for him. It wasn't like he didn't get into scoring positions. He just didn't score. Some of them worse than the others. I would like to see Adam Jan get some more game time. And if Atlanta can get it together, the talent is there. The pieces are there. I think defensively they will play pretty well. And I think that knowing that the pressure's on, they'll get it done against FCC. And after this game, there's still going to be a lot of question marks to ask about FCC. But based on how the game went in the beginning of the season, I don't think it's going to be a super big blowout. I think it could be closer than people expect, because that's how Atlanta likes to operate, apparently. So I'll say a 2-1 win again for Atlanta over FCC.
You think FCC is going to score a goal?
Possibly.
That's wild.
We got Brad Guzan in goal. You never know. He can make the most amazing save and then ship a bad one.
Who do you think scoring for Cincinnati? I'm pretty sure they don't play with the striker.
Last time Kubo scored against us.
He did. That's fair.
I mean, yeah, but I mean, watching that Columbus game, they literally kicked the ball up as far as they could and said, go do something, and they didn't do anything.
Yeah, but Atlanta gets so far forward that they can get caught on the counter. And they got speed up top in FCC, because both their wing backs bomb forward. Bello and Lennon really get forward. And then it can leave them vulnerable in the back, like what happened with Flo getting his goal.
Man, that's bold. That's bold. I don't know anybody who puts faith in FCC scoring a goal. But
you're acting like I picked them to win the game. I just said they'd score a goal.
That's
haven't you seen what can happen at this? Haven't you seen what can happen at this tournament? Like, literally, they could easily somehow mistakenly score a goal.
All right. I will let you off, but I think you're bugging. I think you're straight bugging.
This is my way of doing what you did with Red Bull. So if I say that Atlanta will give up a goal and then they do, I could say I was right. But if they don't, then that's great.
Fair.
Yeah, I don't know. I'm still trying to process the fact that you let's move on. Listen,
it's a psychological thing. It's the same thing you did with Red Bull.
I don't know what you're talking about, man. I never backwards jinx the Red Bull to win 1-0.
Never.
I never would do something like that.
Just put the receipts on Twitter later. Don't worry about it.
I have control. You'll never get that done. Montreal, TFC, Canadian clash. So excited for this one. This is going to be awesome. Adam, go talk to me about our good friends in Montreal.
I'm going to preface this by saying, Montreal fans, I'm going to go to back for your team one more time. Don't make
it one more chance.
One more chance. You lost to New England. I give you one chance to earn back my respect before I.
That's all they have. They only have one more chance. If they lose again, they're done.
No, I know. But in their third game, if they lose this one, they could be playing my middle school team and I still wouldn't back them. Because how do you lose the Revs? The Revs are the most meh team in this entire league, and you lose 1-0. And it wasn't – all right, in fairness, and I give Gustavo Bo credit, the finish itself, incredible. Absolute rocket with his left foot, top corner, nothing he can do. However, go back and watch the two passes before that shot goes off. Ball comes down the right side. The defender backs up and points to the guy with the ball, clearly sees him because he's pointing right at him, but doesn't actually close him down. Ball gets played in to the top of the box. He fakes a shot. Defender jumps and turns, so poor defending. Cuts in. Boom. Rocket left foot. 1-0. Game over. At points, Kyoto looked, lost up top for Montreal. He was playing out on the left. I don't know what he was doing sometimes. Any sort of crosses they look to get into the box, just instantly getting blocked. It didn't look good. And we've said before, Montreal's plan seems to be bunker down, hit you on the counter, and then bunker again, and hopefully they can hold on to the 1-0. That kind of doesn't work when you're trailing a game. You kind of need to go the other way with some urgency and score again. But I don't know how TFC looked. Connor, you'll have to tell us because I didn't see any of their game this morning against DC. From what I've heard, they seem to be in control. But, despite being up a man, their coach made some crazy substitutions and they conceded twice to DC, who was, probably shouldn't have been in this game from what it sounded like. So who knows? This game could be 0-0. This game could be 4-4 and no one feels like defending, but I'll say 2-1 Montreal, because if I get this right, I look like a genius, and I won't be surprised if I get this wrong. So Montreal fans, again, I'm going to back for your team and saying you're winning. Don't let me down.
Go ahead.
I was about to say we put the reverse jinx on them. By backing them, they went poor. Just how it works. Connor, you were saying words.
Yes. So you were asking a little bit about.
Yes, I was indeed speaking words. This is true.
Words. Oh, wow. This Houston's up 2-1 now. This is what I mean. Like, literally anything can happen. FCC can score a goal if Houston can take the lead twice against LAFC. Anyway, you were asking about Toronto because I was the only one that watched the game. They were very much the better team into – now it's 2-2?
No.
It's your score prediction. Never mind. They were very much the better team, and then the red card happened, and then it almost felt like they just took their foot completely off the gas pedal and were just coasting. And then Vanny made a bunch of substitutions that just didn't make any sense. I think he was maybe trying to get some guys in so that they can get some time out there and get a little bit warmer, because he probably thought they were going to just coast to the end being up a man, but it did not work out for them. But if they play their starters and they keep their starters in, then Toronto's a pretty solid team and could be dangerous.
Yeah, I think this is going to be a good game simply because anytime Montreal and Toronto play, it's always a good game. They're very much and it's tough for us to know that because we don't go in like Canadian classic, like I'm so hyped to watch this, right? Like for a long time it wasn't like that, but ever since I saw that playoff game, Montreal TFC, like two legs, 7-5, like Josie hat trick, like wild stuff like that, I've learned that these are really good games. So something to keep an eye on for sure. Lots of really good games this week. You've got Montreal TFC. You've got the El Trafico, excuse me. And then you've got RBNY Columbus. RBNY Columbus is it's a good game, right? You got Columbus who came out flying and smashed FCC 4-0 while Red Bull grind out this 1-0 win versus Atlanta. And I think it's clear to say that Red Bull clearly had the easier of the two games. No, I'm just kidding. Columbus walked through their game while Red Bull sweated it out. And even though Columbus had the easier game, they showed why they're one of the favorite teams, right? They showed that it doesn't matter who they're playing, they are going to beat down on whoever they play against. Zell Orion's a straight-up G. That dude can ball. He's going to be so good this year. In this tournament, after the tournament's over, he's gone in 2 years for mad money. Like, he is going to be a record sold player one day. Red Bull have Kaku, who's similar in position and play style, but Zell Orion is just so much better. I don't think anybody can argue that. So, if I'm Columbus, they need to keep pedal on the floor, right? Keep playing your high-paced attacking football. I'm watching Zell Orion and Zardes and anybody who plays on the wings, Santos, and insert winger here that isn't Derek Etienne, because he'll never start. Just to get a ruse, anybody who isn't watching, Adam just threw a fit. I'm watching those guys to see if they can keep putting together these crazy attacks that they have. And for Red Bull, I want to see Red Bull do the same exact thing they did against Atlanta. Come out with a game plan, execute the game plan. If it means getting a point, a 0-0 point, go get a 0-0 point, man. I don't care. Get across the line. So for me, I'm watching Tom Barlow because he was actually, while he didn't score, relatively influential in the game plan because he chased down the long balls on counterattacks, and he also held the ball up when we were trying to build a little bit. He had the layoff to Kaku before Kaku played the ball in because his only job is to play backwards. So I want to see how he plays in there. I don't think Brian White, I was trying to think of generic names and Brian White just didn't come to me. I don't think Brian White gets a start in this game. I think he had a knock. So I think he's still recovering from that. So Barlow's a guy. But listen, 1-0 isn't pretty. 3 points at 3 points. If Red Bull need to get out of there again 1-0, get out of there 1-0. If you need to get out 0-0, get out 0-0. But play the same way you played against Atlanta. That's how you want to attack this game because Columbus are too good all around the pitch to just let you walk through. So you need to sit in. You need to defend like hell. You need to counter hard. Combine, play the ball. Lay it off. Combine up top. Run on through. Just like we did for the goal. Do it again. You might see some success in this game. However, I'm not confident. I don't think this is going to be a great game for us. With Atlanta, I've seen us play well against Atlanta multiple times. When we play Columbus, we always crap the bed. So I'm going to go 2-0 Columbus because we can't play against Columbus.
Yeah, that Columbus game was gross. Like, I'm all for teams, like, outscoring and just, you know, outplaying the other team. That's literally what the sport is about. But there were genuinely certain points, and obviously I don't like Cincinnati, but like you genuinely felt bad for them at some points. Like, that genuinely seemed unfair.
When Adam says he feels bad for FCC.
I mean, Columbus, it wasn't necessarily a game of Columbus being really good, which of course they were. Cincinnati looked really bad. And I get the feeling Columbus didn't go out of first gear, which no. If you can score four goals, doesn't matter who against in this league, without getting out of first gear, dear God, I'm terrified of what they're going to do this year. Whereas Red Bull, I think, needed to kind of – granted, Atlanta weren't at their best, but I feel like Red Bull needed to be, you know, let's say 90% of their maximum effort to get that win, whereas they're going to need to be at, like, 150 to do anything against Columbus if that's the way they're going to look. Yeah, I mean, this game – I just can't see Red Bull doing anything if Columbus are going to look the way they did.
Yeah, for sure. I'm just checking something real quick before we move on.
That game could have been like 10-0. I generally feel like Columbus stopped trying to score at one point.
Oh, they did.
They're like, yeah, we're good.
This is the impact, and we could talk about this all day. This is the impact of Darlington Nagby. Nagby shut down anything that they had and just let the front four do whatever they wanted.
I mean, you saw what the lack of Nagby did for Atlanta.
Yeah.
You could see it in his absence and in his presence.
Man, we could sit here all day and talk about Nagby's influence on anything. We could, but we'd be here all day because that is a very – that's if we were hosting a coaching podcast, Darlington Nagby could be his own episode because he just offers so much to a team.
I mean, in fairness, Atlanta played a 3-4-3 with two of the most immobile center midfielders I've ever seen next to each other.
I don't know if Atlanta has a mobile center midfielder.
I mean, you brought on Jeff to play when you were already losing.
My name's Jeff.
Yeah, I don't, right? Who was, I don't know that
was
one.
Was Jeff next to Mo Adams or?
Probably.
I forget.
He didn't even bring on Remedy either. He brought on Jeff before Remedy.
Yeah, and we were all laughing when he came on because 38-year-old Jeff Larenowitz in a two-man midfield is not to the answer.
Yeah, the boar special.
Short of him going on the field, I didn't think you guys were going to pull that off.
Shall we move to D.C.?
Sure. Man, if you really want to move to D.C., go right ahead.
I don't want to move to D.C., but I'll talk about him.
Yeah, you should move to D.C.
No, I don't want to.
It's a great place to live. I was there for 6 months.
I remember that, actually.
Oh, really? It wasn't that long.
Yeah, that was the first – you had your little – all right, we're getting off topic. Let's stay on topic here.
I'm a published scientific author with the Navy. All right, nerd part over. Go ahead, Gunner.
Yeah, D.C. and New England. D.C. made a miraculous comeback to take a point in their first game, and New England got a – good victory over a team that you both were very high on.
Who?
You and Adam.
Who?
You. So my biggest thing to look at for this game is going to be New England's attack against DC's defense, because I feel like New England's attack has the potential to actually be a solid attack. Obviously you have Bo, who looked pretty good last game, obviously got the goal. You have Heal as well, who was an amazing playmaker for them. And I think I saw that he had something like 12 chances created or something like that. It was ridiculous. It was a really high number. And then you obviously still have other guys like Teal Bunbury as well. So I feel like the New England attack, you know, it's a formidable attack. It could really do some damage against a DC defense that I am not sold on at all. Because I don't think they looked great against Toronto. Briant is just – I'm not sold on him. I know he somehow manages to score a goal all the time, so I'm sure Adam loves him for fantasy. But he looked bad. He just didn't look good at all in defense for them in the first half. And Pozuelo got by him really easily, set up the second goal of the game. And – if that's going to be the way they play him and Birnbaum against Bo and Heal, I have a lot of questions about whether or not DC can get points in this game. But then you got to look at it from the other way as well. I mean, you got to see what can DC's attack do against New England's defense. And DC's attack didn't look great throughout the game. They got their goals late. I wasn't sold on their attack either. But New England's defense, obviously, we know isn't the best. They did get the shutout against Montreal. So based on what I've seen so far, I'm leaning a little bit more towards New England, but I'm still going to go with a draw in this one. So I'll say 1-1.
safe bet. A very safe bet. I didn't actually get this far into my predictions, so I don't know if I agree with you or not. I don't agree with you, but we'll talk about it later. Cool. Adam, talk about Tim Melialis SKC versus falling flat on their face, Colorado.
Yeah. So, in fairness to Colorado, I put their loss on me. I didn't stay up to watch this game, and I can only apologize and assume that I was the reason that they lost as conductor of their hype train this year, along with Connor. I know Connor stayed up and watched, but as the lead conductor, I let them down, and I want to apologize. So I don't know how they looked in their first game. SKC looked really, really, really good against Minnesota until the red card, and then they quickly fell apart, as we've already talked about. So do we know Melia is definitely not playing this game, correct?
Let's assume he isn't, that the red card doesn't get overturned, and that.
That makes this game a lot closer. I think Colorado will 100% be able to score on Sanchez because he – I don't want to say it was Josh Saunders level last game, but probably pretty close. And that being said, I mean, going the other way, Alan Pulido is quietly, I think, one of the best – like, you can make the argument for top five player in the league. And I think you'd have a pretty just argument based on what we've seen.
Shout, mate.
Yeah. I'd have to obviously go through and pick the other four. But if you said, you know, he's a top five player in the league, I don't think many people would disagree with you, especially – you know, some of the runs and flicks he was making last 2 days ago in that game against Minnesota. I mean, the flick to set up Kyrie Shelton's goal, yes, the finish was questionable, but just the fact that he saw a defender coming, flicks it around him, and then plays that one-touch through ball was kind of gross. So if I had to pick a winner in this game, I don't know. It's going to take a lot of Pulido magic, but I'll say 3-2 SKC. Just because I think Gotti Keane is going to do something too.
Man, he was so disappointing the other day.
Yeah, he was.
I thought he was going to be so much better than he did.
I know.
I feel like he's just a little rusty. I think he'll get it together eventually.
Yeah, I was just so hyped for him to tear things up.
I want to also make a petition that you shouldn't be allowed to bring Johnny Russell off the bench. It's not fair to have that much attacking talent in one team. Just throwing it out there. Because I saw him warming up on the bench, and it didn't. That doesn't seem fair.
They can give him to Colorado because Colorado need the help.
We'll take him at Red Bull. I'll take him at Miami. Play him and Lewis Morgan on one side, Pizarro through the middle. Oh,
relax you.
I can dream.
Let's go into RSL Minnesota because it's my turn to talk. No, it's the next one on the list. It's the next one on the schedule. RSL somehow pulled magic out of a hat and beat Colorado. While Minnesota had a red card, a last-minute goal, some pixie dust, a four-leaf clover, a rabbit's foot, and every other lucky thing you can imagine to pick up 3 points against SKC. Now, here's the thing. I have no idea what to think about this game. Did RSL get lucky? Maybe. Did Minnesota fall flat? I don't know. What I do know is I think whatever the hell Tyler Miller was thinking never happens again in his entire career. I think he saw Greg with 7 G's in the stands and was like, oh, I'm going to do something really cool here to make sure that I'm the number one goalkeeper. And then he looked like an idiot. I think if Amaria is healthy, this is no contest. This is Minnesota. But if he's still hurt, I know he pulled up with a groin injury and those can take a little bit of time. Ooh, that's tough because you're also playing without Ike. They started Hassani Dotson, our right mid, at center mid, which is wild because they're like, oh, man, Tyler Adams did that. Let's try it here. That didn't work. Schoenfield up top wasn't awful. I thought when he came in, he wasn't bad. But he's not Luis Amaria, right? So I think if I'm RSL, I need to keep momentum going and just keep pressing, keep going. I want to see strikers get in on the goals, though, so I want to see Sam Johnson do something, personally. Minnesota, whoever fills in for Mason Toy, Luis Amaria, needs to prove that they can do it. Toy looked bad, dude. When he went down, you heard it, right? They didn't have the crowd noise. He's like, oh, I can't move. This sucks. Like,
Yep.
This isn't good. So whoever fills in, if it's Schoenfeld, it's Schoenfeld. And again, he wasn't awful, but you need to have another person up there to help him out on the sub or whatever. I'm going to say it's still close, but I think Minnesota wins 2-1.
Yeah, that's fair. If only Minnesota had, you know, an expensive attacker, someone could come in, someone like, I don't know.
Tomashakov.
Oh, yeah. He exists, right?
Yeah. What the hell happened to that guy?
Who knows? He's never playing for them, apparently.
Yeah, I'm on that. Can I change my Minnesota flop and put him?
Yes, you can retroactively.
Is that too late?
Yeah.
I want to say that RSL definitely did deserve their win.
Did they?
Yes. Colorado did not have a shot on goal the entire game.
Yeah.
They were – Colorado was bad. Don't get me wrong. It wasn't like RSL was god level, but they did – they got the job done. All right, Portland-Houston?
You mean Portland versus the team that's going to beat LAFC? Go ahead.
Yeah, honestly, I feel like if this game was not being played right now, I would totally be all on Portland. But now that we're watching Houston play pretty well – that's a lot tougher. And I think that based on what's going on right now, the player to watch for me is going to be Memo Rodriguez. He's got 2 goals already tonight against LAFC. He started to break out last year, I believe. I don't know if he had big seasons before last year, but for me, at least, he kind of got on my radar last year, started to hear more of his name. And it feels like he's starting to become a better and better player. Maybe this is his time to flourish right now. So
you say that.
I want to see what he – huh?
Flourish.
Flourish?
You say flourish, like floor-ish. Sorry. Go ahead.
Oh, Houston just scored again, question mark?
They're checking for offside.
Okay. I'm, like, behind you, so I'm sure you will know before me. Anyway, I feel like that attack could be pretty decent. I mean, you have – Elise, you have Memo, you have Manotas. There's definitely guys there that can get it done. It's what are they going to do in defense? And that will always be a question mark when it comes to Houston. And then on the Portland side of things, we haven't seen Portland play yet, so it's hard to say what they'll do based on what they've done thus far. But if we know anything about Portland, they're decent defensively. You have your star attackers and Diego Valeri and Sebastian Blanco. I wonder if the rust will hurt them more since they're older players. Like we saw Beckerman get hurt in that game. Could the same thing happen to them? Obviously, you hope not, but I feel like the door is open for Houston to get points here, and I'm going to go with a 1-1.
They're beating LAFC 3-1 at halftime. You're going to give them 1-1 against Portland?
It is 3-1.
Oh, they confirmed it?
Yeah.
Who? Is it Memo with a hat trick?
Elise.
So this is the thing, right? When Houston were awful, Elise wasn't playing.
Yeah.
Now, here's the other thing. They still have the same back line. So what's different?
They have Carlos. They have Darwin.
They don't. Darwin's on the bench.
I don't think so.
He is. Oh, no, he's playing on the wing. Never mind.
Say, he's definitely up top.
He's playing outside wing. Remember we talked about playing him as a winger?
Yeah, no, they're doing what DC's doing to Gressel, and it makes me very annoyed, and I don't want to talk about it.
Oh, it's great. You love to see it. You love to see it.
Your toy, Andrew. I mean,
God damn it, Connor. It's only 24 episodes later. Learn my name.
They're breaking your toy, Adam.
Who are you?
God damn it. It's on the screen, man. It says my name.
I
Connor
know.
Can't read. He only knows numbers.
Oh.
Adam, round this thing off. Talk about the El Tráfico for me.
So normally I would say that the LAFC attack will be able to easily outscore that horrendous Galaxy back line, especially with no Dos Santos protecting them. But, I mean – they've only scored 1 goal against Houston, so what the hell do I know?
Nothing. None of us know anything.
This game's going to be 6-6. Chicharito's going to have 6 goals, and there
oh
we go.
Oh, my God. You just said Chicharito's going to have 6 goals.
Dude, there are no
goals.
Rules. There's no rules on this show anymore. I've thrown everything I know out the window. I mean, we haven't seen the Galaxy play, so I don't know how they'll line up now that like I said, Dos Santos isn't there in that midfield to be that, you know, box to box and that shield in front of the back line. But from what I've seen the first two games, and this is, you know, obviously all I have to go off of, the Galaxy suck. They were, I mean, they were bad. You guys can, people can argue and yell at me all you want, but they're bad. You can't give Chicharito the armband his first two games for the club and him drop a 2 out of 10. That's not a good sign. It's not me hitting on.
All you guys do is talk about how I harp on your awful picks for Toronto, Mount Rushmore. And every time we bring up LA, he brings up Chicharito with the armband in his first game. Nobody bashes on him for that.
I'm not saying that he shouldn't be captain or whatever. I'm saying as captain, you can't really drop 2 out of 10 performances. Like you have to be the one to be the leader when things aren't going well to say, hey, let's step this up. If you're the one that's sucking, that's not a great look. But I don't know. I genuinely don't know how to call this game because my head would have said prior to this Houston-LA game, I would have said, oh, LAFC, you know, 3-1. But there are no rules, so I'll go 3-3.
I love it. Yeah, man. I these last two games, I'm glad I didn't end up on them because – after watching this, I literally don't know what to say.
Yeah.
I hate this tournament. I hate predictions. I hate this game. I hate having a podcast about a game that's so random.
There's no rules. FC Cincinnati is going to win the whole thing.
All right. Before Adam gets a stroke here, he's already talked about Chicharito scoring 6 goals and FCC winning a tournament. So we're gonna make sure he's okay.
I think he's mid-stroke already.
Yeah. We're going to hit our quick-fire predictions.
Fine.
Starting with Chicago, Seattle. Adam.
3-1 Seattle.
Connor.
2-1 Seattle.
I also had 3-1 Seattle. I remember. All right. Adam's copying me now today.
Do you think I'm reading off of it?
NYC, Orlando. Adam.
-2 to -2. 1-1. No, 0-0. Because NYC can't score. 0-0. Don't watch this game. Not worth 2 hours of your life.
2-1 NYC.
1-1. Good thing you changed, Adam. You look real awkward if you didn't.
I promise you, I don't have the script in front of me anymore.
Philly, Miami. Adam.
2-1 Philly.
Connor.
2-0 Philly.
I have 1-1. Vancouver, San Jose, Adam.
1-0 San Jose, unfortunately.
Connor.
Same thing, 1-0 San Jose.
So do I. Just go ahead, boys. Keep copying off me. Atlanta SDC, Adam.
6-0 Cincinnati. no, like 3-0 Atlanta.
Connor.
I'll say 3-1.
I also have 3-0. Shocker there. Montreal TFC, Adam.
1-1.
Connor.
2-1 Toronto.
I have 2-2. Columbus, RBNY, Adam.
3-1 Columbus.
Connor.
2-0 Columbus.
I also have 2-0 Columbus. Has anybody not picked something I've picked already?
You go first then.
DCU, New England. No, we have an order. Adam.
DC, New England.
Yeah.
1-1.
Connor.
1-1.
I have 1-0. Good job, guys. SKC Colorado, Adam.
2-2.
Connor.
It's 3-1 SKC.
I've got 1-1, making a change. 1-1. RSL Minnesota.
2-1 Minnesota. No, RSL, sorry.
Connor.
1-1.
I have 2-1 Minnesota. I see you, Adam, jumping on the very end there.
No, it's Portland. Going.
Portland, Houston.
3-2 Houston.
Connor.
I'll say 2-2.
I have 2-1 Portland. Adam.
3-3.
LAFC, LA Galaxy, finish stuff.
Yeah, 3-3.
Connor.
3-2 LAFC.
I have 3-2 LAFC as well. Good job, Connor. Well done. All right, that's it. Short, sweet, and to the point. Quick recap of a few games. quick preview of all the games in week two. Anybody got any questions? Anybody got a question of the day? Go ahead, Connor.
I saw something on Twitter, and we can open this up to non-MLS moments as well. But it was a question of if you could be inside, I guess technically like inside the mind of any player during a particular moment, which player and moment would you pick?
Oh, what a great question, Connor.
I can't take credit. I saw it on Twitter, but
I thought it was really interesting. Don't care. Oh, there are so many.
Zidane, I know I have mine, so I can see what you guys think if you want. Zidane headbutt.
I've got two of them, both in the World Cup. Zidane headbutt in his final game as a French player. Luis Suarez handball on the goal line when the ball is literally at his face. All he has to do is head the ball away. Instead, he goes like this and slaps it away. Those are my two. What an awesome – I can think of so many.
Non-MLS one, Gio van Bronckhorst, World Cup 2010, 40-yard screamer from left back.
Yeah.
Just going through your head why you're shooting from 45 yards out on the sideline, but, you know, you put it literally far post top corner, so fair play. MLS moment, Zlatan coming in to his first game against LAFC. Because he comes off the bench, and all I can imagine going through his head is these guys have no idea what's about to happen.
If I'm going to pick an MLS moment, it's Thierry Henry standing over the free kick against DC when Roy Miller takes the free kick. I just want to know what he's thinking. When Roy Miller walks up to him as he's standing over a dead ball from 20 yards out and goes, "Yo, Thierry, I got this.
I've been practicing real hard."
What goes through your head when you're the best player in the entire league and somebody takes you off a free kick in the 93rd minute of a playoff game? Oh, my goodness. Now I'm upset again. Connor, why'd you bring this up?
Just to make you upset.
Good.
I'm really good at that.
You really are. I hate you.
For me, I have a moment that I picked because of Chelsea. I would want to be Drogba when he scored the header against Bayern in the Champions League final.
Nice.
And I think that would probably be insane. Non-affiliated version outside of MLS. I want to be maybe Gylfi Sigurdsson when they beat England. Because I feel like that is like, you know, for a lot of players, they can score insane goals, but they have a lot of other top moments. That, I think, unquestionably, for a lot of the Iceland players, had to have been the top moment ever. It's got to be, like, insane what's going on in their mind. And then MLS-related, probably Zlatan when he scored that goal against LAFC in the first game. That just unreal half-volley. Mm-hmm. I would love to see what was going on in his mind during that.
Or the one against Toronto where he literally spinning back. I don't even know how the hell he scored that. Yeah, pretty much. But that one in particular, because I've yet to see someone do, like, even attempt to try a score like that.
Great, Connor. Well done. That's a phenomenal question. Very happy with that. All right, that's it then. That's it for us. Thank you guys so much for listening and watching wherever you are. Make sure you stay engaged. Follow us on all our social media, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, YouTube. YouTube has been going awfully. I don't know why you guys are all of a sudden blown up on here, but we love it. Keep interacting. Keep commenting. Let us know what you think about our predictions, our previews, our recaps. Let us know. Talk to us. Make sure you're subscribed to us wherever you get your podcasts. You can see when all of our new stuff goes live. And that's it for this episode, but we will see you on the next episode of the next – oh, I messed that one up. We'll see you on the next episode of the Designated Players Podcast. See ya.